All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
At last, my love has come along. My lonely days are over.
That's Etta James.
All right, I didn't pick this one. I want no responsibility if
someone complains. No, I actually picked this in honor of our missing producer, Triple B, who is at the Etta James concert. He always wanted to see Etta James. This was the only shot he had to do it, so he had to miss the show to see Etta James.
I didn't know Etta James still did concerts.
Yes.
Do they hold them right in a funeral home just in case?
That ain't right. I saw Jerry Lee Lewis this year, and
that should have been at a funeral home also.
I thought George Romero directed the concert.
Wow.
I'm just saying, I love Jerry, but he was not looking good.
Unhealthy.
And speaking of unhealthy, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 147, Sucks to be Wolverine.
Okay. Maybe it should be Sucks to be Hugh Jackman.
Since it's his money in it? No, yeah. I think it did well. But let's save all that discussion for segment two tonight when we will discuss in depth, the Wolverine origin, X-Men Origins Wolverine movie.
Right.
We should say hello to all of the Sirius XM listeners who have tuned in to listen to us this week.
Hello, Sirius XM.
Hello. And we want to tell you guys that... You can go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Everybody can go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And you can download each and every episode that we do. We do one a week.
We do.
Sirius XM people only get one every other week.
Right.
You can get the missing ones over at the website. You can also interact with other fans on our forums. You can see picture galleries for each episode.
Absolutely.
You can buy the official t-shirt, which is
still available.
Yeah, still over there. And other fun and surprising things. Lots of video content going up.
Yeah, man. Rocking the video.
Yeah. Our free comic book day video from Time Warp Comics and Games is currently running on that website. So you should check that out. And we have more coming in the pipeline, says Production Tim.
Absolutely.
Yes. So with that, I think... That's the hotline ringing.
Oh, wow.
So maybe we should take this call from the hotline.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Rich. I'm from Yonkers, listening on XM. I'm wondering why you guys never discuss WoW, World of Warcraft. It's pretty big, pretty deep into the geek culture. I wonder if you guys would touch on it. Maybe the new expansion, the 3.1 expansion, which is pretty much all the buzz right now. And how Blizzard made all of it just uber hard and can't get through it and trash wipes, all kinds of craziness. Take care, guys.
Well, Rich from Yonkers, I understand that if you listen to us only on SiriusXM, you may miss some of the other content that we talk about on our regular weekly show.
Right.
We not only do we talk about WoW, we've talked about World of Warcraft in depth. Both OG and I are avid players of the game.
We are.
I am on the Kirin Tor server, KirinTor server, and my character's name is Blue Devil, BlueDevill. And also my alt is Blue Devil, spelled the same, DK for Death Knight. Yeah, guys, I was not feeling creative that day.
I may
buy a name change on that one.
Ew.
But and you're still on somewhere, aren't you?
I am on the executive server, and my character name is Thaef. Thaef.
Thaef?
Thaef.
Thaef?
Thaef.
What? Did you make that one up?
Yeah, it's kind of like a variation on thief.
It's
because I'm a rogue.
It's as bad as your D&D name.
It's as bad as Blue Devil DK.
All right, you win that one.
All right.
But, yeah, and the most recent expansion, Wrath of the Lich King, and the most recent patch to Wrath of the Lich King.
The Uldor patch.
Yes, has caused a bit of upheaval. Yes, it's true.
It has.
But like every other patch and update and everything else, it's just a matter of time before it all, you know, it all balances out and everyone's happy playing the game again.
You know, I've read some interesting stuff about Lich King.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think we have two more big patch contents.
Okay.
Over the next like year and change or so. And then they'll start working on what would be the next expansion.
Terrific. That's great. I know one of the things that they recently did was dual specking.
Yes.
Which means you can, for an amount of gold, 1,000.
1,000.
Yes. You can get a whole separate tree of talents. And talents are basically special skills that you have that your character in the game can have. And you can customize those. You get points for attaining different levels of experience and so on and so forth. And that was actually a really big deal for a lot of people, that whole dual specking thing. So,
well, it makes a significant difference in how you play. Sometimes you want to spec combat. Sometimes you want to spec subtlety if you're a rogue or something along those lines.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it just makes it a little bit easier to do it.
And, yes, yeah, so, Rich, if you want to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, you certainly will be able to check out all of the episodes of this show that you don't hear on SiriusXM. You might catch us talking about World of Warcraft every now and then. We talked about it every week,
I think,
for 2 months before Lich King
before came Lich out. King came out, yeah. I probably should give out that phone number.
Yes, the hotline number. If you'd like to hear us discuss a topic or you have a question about something in the geek realm of interest, really, films, toys, games, anything in the genre, anything we discuss here on the show, you want to give us a call at the hotline.
425-920-6050.
Right, and leave us a message over there, and you might hear your topic brought up, like Rich from Yonkers, on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, thank you, Rich from Yonkers, but let's move on with the news.
All right. So, in the alien sighting news aspect of tonight's show, Megan Fox was recently seen in a corset.
Yeah.
She's hot. Wow.
That's not real, though. I mean, nobody can have, like, that's like sickly small.
She's teeny tiny to begin with, and right? I'm guessing the corset just squashed it in. Oh, I mean, those
that's
photos.
That's a part of her that's teeny tiny.
Those photos, I mean, they weren't airbrushed. They were, you know, snapped by someone random on the set of Jonah Hex, we should say, by the way.
Right.
This is her and from Jonah Hex. And, you know, Megan Fox.
You know, yeah, if you're listening right now on your iPod or on iTunes or in QuickTime, you can see that image, or else, like many of the images we talk about here on the show, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click the photo gallery for episode 147, and you can see that incredibly hot picture of Megan, well, disturbingly hot picture of Megan Fox. Well, at least the Jonah Hex movie's moving forward. That's good.
Right, and we like that. Star Wars. Let's talk about Star Wars. Not the movie.
Okay.
Not a game.
Okay.
Not the animated series.
Okay.
Have I covered all the bases?
Not the toys.
Not the toys.
Okay.
The ride.
The ride.
The ride.
Oh,
now, for like those of you who, you know, may or may not know, Disney has a Star Wars ride in two of its major parks, both in Orlando and in California.
Isn't it called the Star Wars Experience?
It's called Star Tours.
Star Tours, yeah. Yes, that's it.
The thought behind the ride is you're entering into this pod and you're supposed to be getting a tour of the galaxy.
Right.
And silliness ensues.
Like, well, a shuttlecraft or something.
Right, like some sort of shuttle.
Right.
The news is that they're finally updating the video.
Wow.
That video is, it's got to be like 20 years old at this point.
Well, I saw it in 1990 in California.
Okay, so.
So that's a long
time ago. That's 19 years at least.
Yes.
So I was close. So they're updating it to include some new characters, some new planets and stuff like that that we didn't get to see in the original ride.
Terrific.
So fans of that can have something to look forward to.
Yeah, and I'm sure if they add any characters, you can look forward to buying the figures of those characters at the gift shop in the parks.
The only Star Wars toys I still buy regularly, mind you, the Star Tours line.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah. I have. I think I still have all of them. I'm not behind on that.
Your Poser collection is still running along, but just with the characters from Star Tours.
But just with the Star Tours line.
I see. Poser.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh, wait, yes. He's not The Rock anymore, right?
He's always The Rock, sir. He'll always be The Rock.
It looks like he's going to be in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Wow, they're remaking that again?
Yeah, we had actually talked about this quite a couple episodes back, and there was some rumor that I think that Will Smith was one of the front runners for Nemo. And I think, is this Mick G? Is this one Mick G? I think it is, right?
Probably, from the casting. It would sound like Mick G.
I guess Will Smith maybe wasn't available.
Okay.
And so they've gone to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think it's probably more along the lines of he worked well for them in Escape from Witch Mountain.
Right.
So let's hold on to his soul.
Let's make him Disney a Disney boy.
Now, this is what, his third Disney film, right?
Yes.
The Game Plan was the first, and then Witch Mountain, and now 20,000 Leagues if it goes forward. So.
Right. I hope with him not as Captain Nemo, I should say.
Why not?
Because it's not right, sir.
All right.
It's just not right.
This is a modern urban Captain Nemo. His sub's in the hood.
Speaking of modern and urban... neither of those terms apply to Tales of Zorro.
Not so much.
It's put out by Moonstone Books. This is basically a 17 all-new short stories about the character of Zorro. Now, what's great about this is you don't get a lot of pulpy character stories like this from the pulpy characters, as I call
them. Does it include the Gay Blade?
No, sir, it does not. That was a great movie, though. But that said, for more than 85 years, as it says on the back of the book, Zorro has enthralled audiences around the world. And that's true. And even more than that, these characters are really having a resurgence. Zorro, the Lone Ranger, the Green Hornet, Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, all the characters from these types of pulpy stories are just having a great resurgence. So great. I'm such a fan of them that I'm really happy to get anything from them. And this wonderful Tales of Zorro is the first. There is a second Tales of Zorro that's coming out very soon. So you can go over to moonstonebooks.com and check that out. Very, very exciting.
As we wait patiently for May 19th to roll around, which is the day that apparently all the major studios are going to announce what's been picked up and what hasn't been picked up.
Again? We wait for this already once?
We got a couple of minor releases or a couple of minor speculations, but not the official release.
Okay.
But one title has beaten the punch and has been confirmed as being picked up for a full second season, and that would be Fringe.
Well, I mean, considering how much Fox has pushed it on everybody, it doesn't surprise
me. It's a great show. They should be pushing it on everybody.
Man.
Not to mention Leonard Nimoy, I think, is in the next episode of the show. And, I think he's going to play a significant role in season two as well. So that should be pretty exciting for the Fringe fans, for the Spock fans, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Very good. Mm-hmm. And but still no word on the cancellation of Dollhouse
May
and Terminator.
May 19th.
Okay. I'm looking forward to May 19th.
With bated breath.
We could be throwing another fabulous Big Kev's Geek Stuff party celebrating the demise of either or both of those shows.
That's terrible, sir. That's terrible. Chuck's another one that people are eagerly hoping gets picked up, but no official word yet. So I think the 19th we're going to find out all that news. I'll either be crying or rejoicing.
Mm-hmm. Party time.
Kevin Feige, the producer of Marvel Studios, gave us a little bit of, I guess, insight, update on the Thor movie.
Oh, boy.
So Branagh is currently in close talks.
That's Kenneth Branagh.
Right. He's definitely directing.
Uh-huh. That's, okay.
But they're talking about the script, some revisions, some additions.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about casting. And Fahey said that they expect to have some major casting announcements very soon.
Okay.
For the roles of Thor, Loki, and Odin.
Now, didn't they already have... Oh, well, those rumors?
There's been a lot of rumors speculations surrounding who's going to be Thor. I think there's been like three or four different names in the pot.
Triple H?
Yeah, Triple A. He played Thor already, right? When he returned that one time?
No, that was... He was Conan.
Oh, he's Conan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so we'll get something definite. And, you know, he confirmed that it's definitely going to tie into what they're doing with the Avengers movie. So, which isn't really much of a shock.
Right.
We kind of knew that. So, I guess it's just nice to know that it's moving forward. It's not completely dead in the water.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited about that. Interesting news from Serenity, the Serenity universe. Serenity, of course, the motion picture based on the Joss Whedon television show, much maligned television show.
Dollhouse?
No, that's not maligned. That's maligned means that they shouldn't have said terrible things about it. That this show, which I always forget the name of,
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Yes, thank you. There it is, Firefly. This is the Serenity role-playing game Six Shooters and Spaceships Supplement.
I need to have that.
From Margaret Weiss Productions. This is a supplement that allows you to flesh out your Serenity role-playing game. They have 26 new ship types, pre-generated crews, robots, guns, all sort of items, materials, people, ships, and things that you can flesh out your Serenity role-playing game with. And I thought they had long since passed doing more stuff from this game.
I thought so as well. I think probably what's keeping the game alive is, because look, I know a lot of people that game, and I don't actually know anybody that's currently playing the Serenity role-playing game, but the flavor text, all the background information, the expansion upon the universe is actually halfway decent. At least it was in the previous books. So I guess even if you're not a fan of the game, but you're a fan of the universe, you're a fan of the show and the movie series, it provides you with some more information that you may not have gleaned from there.
Well, there it is. From Margaret Weiss Productions, it is Six Shooters and Spaceships. It's going to run you about $25, well worth it. And yeah, there it is.
You know, there's another book coming out later this year for that game. The Big Damn Heroes Handbook, coming out December of 2009.
Nice. Some people are playing this game somewhere.
Apparently. We just don't know them, I guess. So maybe if you're playing, you should let us know.
Yeah, go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and drop us a line. Let us know if you're playing the Serenity role-playing game. Let us know how it is. We haven't had a shot to play this. Or you could give us a call at the hotline.
425-920-6050. In the what film franchise is Robert Rodriguez going to ruin next portion of the show?
Okay.
He's actually not ruining a franchise. He's pulling the plug on the Barbarella remake.
Oh, that's dead?
That's dead.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's over. He's officially killed it.
Classic campy sci-fi should just remain that way.
Should just stay the way it is, yeah. Movie.
That's true. Speaking of movies, let's talk about a couple of DVDs.
Alrighty then.
That came out this week. Of course, the multi-Academy Award nominated, it might even won some stuff.
The Curious Case of Benjamin Button?
Yes. This is the director-approved two-disc special edition, which, of course, features all of the things that you'd expect such a wonderful presentation to contain. Has all sorts of still galleries and All sorts of effects, things, everything you'd expect to find, and a terrific movie on top of that.
Awesome.
Yes. And sadly, Boston Legal, the final season, season 5,
aww,
has come out on DVD.
That was only five seasons long? I thought it was longer than that.
Denny Crane. No, it wasn't. And this is it. This is the last of it in my hand here. So,
wow.
Boston Legal season 5 also came out on DVD this week. John Larroquette in this season as well.
You love John Larroquette.
Who doesn't love John Larroquette?
I don't know anybody who doesn't love John Larroquette. I'm just
saying. Speaking of love, let's give some comic book love. This week, comics to check out. Jersey Gods number 4, very Kirby-esque art style in this really terrific comic book called Jersey Gods. Comes from Image issue 4. Glenn Brunswick, Dan McDade, still doing a fantastic job on that book. From our people. No.
Our people?
There's nobody our about this at all. So from Marvel.
Right.
It's New Mutants number 1.
What?
Yeah. That's a little weird, I thought. But it's your old favorites from New Mutants from the 80s.
I thought you were going to say Ravage 2099.
No. Including Magic, Cannonball, Warlock, all the ones you remember. They're all getting back together to have new adventures.
Cable?
I guess. Not Cable was not a New Mutant.
Was he introduced to New Mutants? Is that
what
it was? I thought he was introduced to New Mutants.
No, sir.
Was he introduced in X-Force?
No, before X-Force. He led X-Force.
I know. That's why I thought he was introduced in New Mutants.
No, sir. Not
all
New
right.
Mutants. Strange Adventures, number 3. This is that great space opera anthology from our pals over at DC. Features a bunch of different stories that are going on here with different characters that you might love, like Adam Strange and Bizarro and... just to name a few. It's a terrific book. It's getting really, really good. Space opera is very vogue right now, so you should check it out. Want to talk also about from Marvel's 70th anniversary series of books. This would be Human Torch Comics number 1.
Okay.
Yes. And this is, again, this is another... one of those stories set in the 40s, 30s, 40s era of Timely Comics where this character came from. This would be the android Human Torch, sir. This would not be Johnny Storm, the android Human Torch. And I got to say, the art in this book, Scott Wegener, W-E-G-E-N-E-R, check it out. It's really kind of not Marvel. It's kind of really independent and cartoony, and it really, really works. So you get a full story from that creative team. They reprint a classic story from the original Human Torch in here, and you get the, which I think is fantastic, the New Mutants issue 1 preview, which is, what, 2, 4, maybe 6 pages of the book that we just said came out. Now, why the hell would Marvel put a preview of a book in a book that comes out the same week that the book comes out?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ. We could have had pages of that great Wegener story there?
I know.
Wegener illustrated story, I should say. I want to be specific. Scott Snyder was the writer. Both really terrific. Really terrific book. And then I'm going to rip this one to shreds from our DC friends, this is Battle for the Cowl, the network, number 1. Okay. It's a one-shot. Now, this is basically all the kind of characters that help with the patrol, if you will, of Gotham City are all part of this network. Nightwing, Robin, Huntress, Batgirl, you know them all. And they all are kept in link by Oracle, who was Barbara Gordon, who used to be Batgirl, but then Joker shot her and crippled her. Still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Amongst the story was meh. It's kind of like, you know, how everybody, again, is trying to cope without Batman being there yet. I have to admonish. That's the bad one, right?
Admonish,
when
yes.
You admonish somebody. That's when you say bad things?
Yes.
Fabian Nicieza, the writer, meh, okay. Don Kramer and Jim Calafiore pencilers. Meh. Nah. Nah. And Joe Smith, Joe or J.D. Smith, because I can't read which it is. I'm going to say Joe. Joe Smith did the coloring in this book, should be shot. Because this may be the worst coloring job I've ever seen in a book.
Oof,
I mean, it's terrible. Let me just give you an example, just because I don't want to belabor this all day. One of the characters in the network is Ragman, who happens to be one of my favorite characters.
All right.
And basically his costume is, as you would expect,
rags.
A lot of rags. They're all sewn together. They're all rags from different things. And when presented properly, he's very, very colorful, but very spooky. Kind of looks like the Spectre if somebody made a Spectre costume out of a bunch of little pieces of shit.
Right.
Cloth they found in various dumpsters and so on and so forth. And in this book, he's colored all green. Every appearance in the book, he's just green. He looks like the Spectre.
That's kind of silly.
Yeah, and I don't understand how anybody allowed this to happen. Who edited this book?
Who allowed
this to happen? Janelle Siegel, the assistant editor, Mike Martz, who is the actual editor, they should be ashamed that this book hit the streets looking this way. That's one example. I could sit here and pull out a number of them. I thought the coloring was terrible in this book, especially the Ragman stuff is so disappointing. I'm almost tempted to write DC and be like, what the hell is that?
So do it.
I might do it.
Can I have a quick
comics for the week?
No, I have a quick. I told you
Okay.
I have to get in there. I don't get them often.
All right.
First appearance of Cable, New Mutants number 86. That was his cameo. First full appearance, New Mutants number 87.
Is that what you did instead of paying attention to what I was saying?
Booyah.
About those
no, Ragman, green, not colored. I was there.
Okay.
Booyah.
Can you name the other four books I talked about?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, let's take our first break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 147, Sucks to be Wolverine.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Hi, this is Henry Winkler, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The Fonz be with you.
And also with you.
And how lucky are you?
Fonzie be praised!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 147, Sucks to be Wolverine, I guess.
No, don't guess. It does. It sucks to be Wolverine if you saw that movie.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I loved it. I'm not saying I'm giving it a good review.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying everybody should rush out to see it. All I'm saying is I didn't hate it.
Okay.
Like I thought I was going to.
Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the thing that I say about Marvel consistently throughout all their platforms, all their projects, what happened to Marvel continuity? What did they erase that word from their projects entirely?
They don't. they don't bastardize the movie continuity.
Oh, they have too now. Much. Oh, they have now.
They don't bastardize it too much.
Sir. Sir.
Okay, how?
Explain to me how Liev Schreiber's Sabretooth becomes the Tyler Mane Sabretooth.
That is the glaring example. And what I'd like to say here is they should have cast Liev Schreiber to begin with. Because I thought he was probably the best one in the movie.
What, you mean in the X-Men movie?
No. In Wolverine, I think Liev Schreiber or Sabretooth was the best character in the movie. I thought he was the best. Which isn't saying much, but...
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good in that role.
That doesn't answer the question.
I understand. Okay, so that's one example.
Mm-hmm.
Are there more?
Of continuity problems?
Yes.
Yeah, there are
between
a bunch.
Between that and the movies. Forget about the comics. Let's talk about just the movies.
Just the movies. Professor X. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we should play this.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
There. Now, if you're not prepared for it, tough shit.
Tough
Professor
shit.
X turns up at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Walking.
Yes.
Walking? He's walking.
He's doing the projection thing.
No, he's not. It was him. Walking.
I don't think it was actually him.
Oh,
I think it was a projection.
No, sir, I believe it was him. It's a projection because they did that effect on him to make him look young.
I thought it was a projection.
I don't think so, sir. He was walking.
All right, so that's up to that we'll have to put that one out there. We'll see what people think about that. You can comment on that.
Well, I'm certainly because
they got around the Cyclops thing.
Well, yeah, because they covered up his eyes, you mean?
Yeah, but they got around it. It made sense.
Also, in the first X-Men movie, Professor X acts like he's never picked up Wolverine or anything like that before.
But there's no indication that he picks up Wolverine at the end of that movie.
I'm not picked up, sir. I mean, like, picked up.
What I mean is, there's no indication that he does or doesn't
sir,
at the end of that movie.
The most powerful mind on the planet, and he's on a small island with maybe 100 people. You don't think he picked up that a mutant was there? Sir? Nothing? Comment? Something?
I think that's a small one.
Okay. Do you want to get into the rest of the flick? Those are the continuity. On the surface continuity.
On the surface continuity errors. Okay.
Let's talk about the bastardization of characters in this movie.
Okay. That's a good place to start.
Okay. Who is Dominic Monaghan?
Not Beak. We all thought it was going to be Beak.
Yeah.
We all wondered how they were going to pull off the Beak thing.
Uh-huh.
Not Beak.
So who is it?
It's Bolt is the character name that they list him in as IMDb. If you look up the wiki on the character, it's Chris Bradley, who used to be Maverick, then became Bolt. Or I think it was the other way around. Was Bolt and then became Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick I remember as a really cool character.
Yeah,
so,
he's a technopath. He can control electricity in some capacity.
Okay.
That's who he's supposed to be.
Wasted.
Absolutely wasted.
The Blob.
I was okay with the Blob.
Wasted.
I thought he was set up nicely for him to be in the universe in the future. I thought he was okay.
Ugh. Terrible.
Wraith, or whoever that character was, the Will.i.am, that was wasted. I thought he was terrible.
I don't know who that was supposed to be.
Wraith is the Marvel character, but I'm not familiar with who Wraith is.
I'll tell you who I liked.
Who?
Weapon Zero.
Was perfect.
Perfect.
Agent Zero. Was perfect.
Yeah.
He was probably the best next to Sabretooth.
I would say probably yes, as far as translation goes.
Right.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
With his mouth unsewn.
Ryan Reynolds in the opening bit of the movie was perfect.
Perfect.
If he had stayed that way the entire film, it would have been the best Deadpool representation on screen ever.
Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Ever. The scene with the swords.
Yeah.
Everybody's dead.
Perfect. Why do you hire a Ryan Reynolds, who's a guy who can deliver the quick, quippy dialogue of Deadpool, and then you sew his mouth shut?
All right. We have to talk about that, though.
Okay.
That wasn't Ryan Reynolds at the end of the movie. I'm not talking about any of the post stuff, which we're going to get to.
Okay.
That wasn't Ryan Reynolds at the end of the movie.
That wasn't Ryan Reynolds, the actor.
Correct.
It was a stuntman.
It was Scott Atkins, who actually has credits as Weapon 11, not as Deadpool, and not as a stuntman. He's given credit as Weapon 11, both in the film, if you watch in the credits of the film, and right. on IMDb.
So are you saying we were deceived and that was not Wade that he was
we
fighting are, at the
we
end?
We were 100% deceived. And there's proof that we were deceived.
Then let me tell you why that sucks also. Because everybody at the theater, including characters in the movie, think that that is Deadpool. Think that that is Wade.
I know, that's great. You don't think that's a great plot device?
It's only great if they make a sequel and explain it.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then. They've already announced the Deadpool movie this week. They're
They've
moving
announced-
forward with the Deadpool movie, with Ryan Reynolds in the role as Deadpool.
Okay. Interesting. How are they doing that?
Because he's not dead at the end of the movie.
That's it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And I know you're going to tell me, no, there's a scene after the credits.
There are three different ones.
Yes,
three
all of which
credit scenes.
All of which sucked.
Well, one of them, no, they were all okay in their
one
own right.
One is Wolverine sitting at a Japanese bar, which, duh, of course he goes to Japan.
Right, okay, but that, for story purpose alone, it was okay. It sets up the next leg of Wolverine's life
blah.
In a deal.
Uh-huh.
It was shitty and disappointing,
uh-huh.
but it is what it was.
Two, you have the hand of Weapon 11
right.
reaching up, and what did he uncover the mouth of the decapitated head?
Yeah, and the head says shush.
Yeah. And that clearly looked like Ryan Reynolds' head. And then there's a third one.
The head did not. See, I don't think it looked like. I knew it was Ryan Reynolds as soon as I saw it,
and
as soon as I saw the close-up.
And the third one.
Now, the third one is shaky, because some people say they've seen it, and some people say that they haven't seen it, but Marvel isn't saying whether or not it was seen or not. It may have been seen during previews only, but not in any of the official theatrical releases.
Uh-huh.
So that one's a little bit shady, but the third one involves the actual Ryan Reynolds.
Right, walking in and looking at right. Weapon 11 dead or right. whatever.
And who are you? And then fade to black.
Uh-huh.
I'm okay with all three of those.
Can we talk about the rest of the movie?
We can.
It sucked.
It was a
ham-handed attempt to mash these characters all together, and I just thought it was terrible.
This is the review that I've given on the movie that some people have actually agreed with.
Okay.
Or my opinion that some people have actually agreed with. If I didn't know anything about any of the characters, and this was my first introduction to the characters, the movie was okay. It was a popcorn flick.
It was
an action popcorn flick.
I am going to disagree with you because nobody needs that much exposition ever. Do we really need to have a huge fight scene with Gambit in order to establish that Gambit's a good guy? Let's get into Gambit.
Terrible.
Where is the accent?
There is no accent.
It was awful. What?
Well, there was an accent, but there wasn't
an
accent.
And it wasn't one. And then,
but it was like Southern, and it wasn't Cajun.
And again,
but it was only there for some scenes.
Yeah,
and
again,
for some scenes.
Another quippy character who is robbed of any quippy dialogue.
Absolutely.
Who wrote this piece of shit?
I
and they should be shot, whoever they are. Because
David Benioff and Skip Woods.
Well, Skip ought to skip writing anything else, because you have at least two characters in this film, and more so because Wolverine 2 should have had some of this as well. Just, they're all quippy characters. They'll have quippy lines, especially Deadpool and Gambit. And to rob them of that is to just strip away layers of the character to make the character interesting. What was Gambit interesting at all?
The only interesting part about Gambit was seeing him do an occasional cool thing.
Ooh, the lolly. Wow. Charge up some cards. Yeah. Wow. I can fight with a stick.
Yeah. That was
whoopee-doo-da.
He was wasted. He was Angel from X3.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? And not even as much, because at least you get the point with Angel in X3. And Ben Foster's awesome in anything.
Ben Foster is good. We like Ben.
But that said, let's take the plot of the story.
Okay.
Now, he's not going to, at the end of the movie, what's his name? General Douchebag decides.
Stryker.
Yeah, Stryker's got to put down Wolverine.
Right.
And he decides to use adamantium bullets to do this.
Right. He's trying to erase his memory, I think, at that point.
Won't put him down. Won't kill him. It'll just take away his memories.
Right.
Will it?
Yeah.
It is such crap. I can't even be.
That's drivel.
I thought the memory loss happened during the Weapon X programming.
They made mention of it
during it, and then they didn't do it because he escaped. Well, why don't you just take his memories right there?
Because I guess if you take his memories and you remove the plot device of it being a revenge story. He's trying to avenge the death of his girlfriend.
I guess.
Right? Kayla, whatever the hell her name was.
Yeah, and she was somebody.
Who was she supposed to be?
She was supposed to be Silver Fox.
Right.
Who, again, another kind of tertiary character in the Wolverine story. Certainly not this relationship
certainly
that I'm aware of.
Certainly should not have been who they had in that spot.
I mean, just another weird choice. And again, to put Emma Frost in the movie for 6 seconds and then just get the scene where she and Scott are together, working together. What a ham-handed piece of crap that was. There was 10 other mutant kids in that little pile. None of them couldn't do anything except run out. What the hell is that? I mean, here's a bigger question. Where are those mutants when the X-Men movie starts? Are they all in the school? Because if Scott is a teenager and he's an adult in the X-Men movie,
right?
Here we go back to continuity. How come Stryker is 80 years old in X-Men 2, but he's 40 years old in this movie?
Yeah, he's not 80. He's probably in his 60s.
They clearly show him having a moment with one of the frozen kids on that island.
Yeah, who was that supposed to be?
His son. And that island is destroyed. Well, all right. It's speculation. I speculate that's supposed to be his son, a character we see. And that kid looked like he was 6, 7 years old.
And he was like 9 in X2.
And he wasn't 9 in X2. He was an adult, sir. He was in the wheelchair.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
He was in the wheelchair.
He was like 20.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Star Wars timing between episode 3 and episode 4. You just can't make the timing work. It just doesn't work. And this is what I say, man. It's Joe Quesada. It's all Joe Quesada's fault.
It's always Joe.
No, I'm quoting.
I don't think you could blame Joe
for
this
one. I'm not blaming Joe for this one, but I am going to say the party line, which Joe Quesada has quoted to me, continuity should not get in the way of a good story.
But where was the good story?
Exactly. There wasn't a good story to get in the way of.
All right. Let's talk about a couple other things. I didn't entirely, from a movie standpoint, movie continuity standpoint, I didn't entirely hate the Wolverine-Sabretooth relationship. I was really actually okay with it.
Really? Were you?
I was. I was okay with it. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I was going to. The whole brothers thing, it was terribly wrong if you look at the book, but from the movie continuity standpoint, I was okay with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Then why doesn't Sabretooth recognize him in the first movie?
He does. He gives him back his dog tags.
He does? He doesn't give him back. He takes them and he looks at him like a dog hearing a new sound, turning his head all.
I think he knows exactly who he is in the first movie.
If that's the case, why does he not address him or say anything? Does he know that he's been popped in the head twice and doesn't have any memories anymore?
He may if he's working for Stryker.
He's not working for Stryker. He's working for Magneto.
Yeah, but look, you have to take a little bit of liberty that there is stuff that happens in between. They can explain it further. There's going to be a Wolverine 2.
Well, first of all, if there is a Wolverine 2, it had better answer a lot of questions. Somebody had better call somebody up and be like, what the fuck? It's an Origins movie. That means it leads into stuff that's already happened on film. You must at least try to preserve that continuity or have an explanation as to why it's not preserved, a la Star Trek.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Again,
very disappointed.
I'm not saying that I loved it. I'm not telling anybody to go out and see it. All I'm saying is I wasn't nearly as disappointed as I thought I was going to be.
Well,
I kind of enjoyed it as a popcorn and Slurpee movie.
I'm sad to hear you say that.
Okay, that's fair.
Very sad.
All right.
I think you've kind of you lost a little cred, I think.
I always lose cred. I'm beyond cred at this point.
I'm just saying.
I'm credless.
I'm just saying. You going to see the Star Trek movie?
Yes, probably not this weekend, but yes.
Why?
Because it's Mother's Day on Sunday.
No, sir. Why are you going to see the movie?
Oh, because it looks fantastic.
But you're not a fan.
But I've seen a couple Star Trek movies. I see them once in a while.
But how do you know anything if you've never seen any of this
stuff? Well, this is a great place to join on. It's the beginning.
Oh, it's not. Oh, you just make me sick. Let's take our final break, and we'll come back with the wrap-up. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 147, It Sucks to Be Wolverine, Hard.
Hello, dear listener, Kev here. When I'm looking for the absolute best in action figure news and entertainment, I look no further than action-figure.com. They have the latest news, information, pictures, and exciting stuff that I'm looking for. Once again, that's action-figure.com. Go there today.
Sorry, Adrian.
That's all right. Has anybody told him that his British accent is just, like, really terrible?
You should have heard his African-American.
God, blimey!
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace, from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
Hi, this is Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 147, It Sucks to Be Wolverine.
OG, what did we talk about this week on Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Megan Fox is hot but creepily skinny in the upcoming Jonah Hex. Star Tours is getting a new movie. And Robert Rodriguez is killing the new movie Barbarella.
From our friends at Moonstone Books, you want to check out Tales of Zorro, 17 all-new short stories about the great pulpy swordsman. 85 years in running with stories on that character. Also, the Serenity role-playing game supplement, Six Shooters in Spaceships, from Margaret Weiss Productions, lets you flesh out your Serenity role-playing game even more.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be portraying Captain Nemo, or so we think the rumor is right now, in the upcoming 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and Thor is still in the works.
On DVD this week, we want you to check out The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, the director-approved special edition 2-disc, approved by David Fincher, has all of the things that you'd expect to find on such a wonderful Criterion collection. Boston Legal's final season, Season 5, is now out on DVD as well. William Shatner et al. In a fine TV show. What a shame to see it go, but it is going, and you can check out the last season now. Comic books we suggested this week included Jersey Gods number 4 from Image, New Mutants number 1 from Marvel, Strange Adventures number 3 from DC, The Human Torch Comics number 1, part of Marvel's 70 anniversary thing, one shot, very good, and the Network one shot, Battle for the Cowl. Terrible coloring job, butcher hatchet job by Joe Smith on the coloring. I'm ashamed of it.
Wolverine Origins was a butcher hatchet job to our sensibilities, and that was segment 2.
To Marvel's continuity, and that's for certain. Don't forget, you can check us out each week over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff. .com, where you can download each and every episode. If you'd like to hear us talk about a topic in the future, give us a call at our hotline,
425-920-6050.
Leave us a message, and you might hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We'd like to give a special thanks to SiriusXM and all of our great, lovely listeners over there. And I guess that's it for this week.
Don't forget, you can buy the official t-shirt.
Oh, right.
Check out all the fine video productions.
They are fine.
And the photo galleries that accompany each and every episode.
Right.
To see related images to the things we're talking about here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And with that, OG, in the absence of Triple B, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 147, Sucks to be Wolverine?
I may finally start to watch Star Trek after I see the new movie.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Should come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear, you may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. Sucks to be Wolverine.
The world's about to be destroyed. There's no point getting all annoyed.
Lie back and let the planet dissolve. Despite those nets of tuna feats, we thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots and your friend and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
Change one thing, we would all.